God wants to make an impression on you. And this week I had to do a devotion for Gideon's that I'm part of. And I read this. It's called Imprint. I wish to imprint my truth upon your mind, to write it upon your heart with the finger of my spirit, to burn my truth into your soul with the Holy Spirit's fire. I would have the truth of my word burn as a fire within you, so that when you speak, when you release the truth I impress upon you, that word may enter the hearts of my people, burning through the dross and debris, entering their souls, minds, and spirits, bringing a holy change, a transforming change, a life-giving change. I would have my word burn within your heart, so that as you release my word, it will cause strongholds to come crashing down, and walls of righteousness and peace will be rebuilt. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And as Sam, our pastor, comes to speak now, I'm certain God is going to reinforce his word and bring it alive in your heart, in your mind. Let's give a warm welcome to Sam Jayakrishnan.
Praise the Lord. God is good. And all the time, God is amazing. I want to welcome you once again. We're happy to see you this morning. Looking good, looking summery. How many like this lovely sunshine we've had? So I'm on the subject of growing in faith. And you remember last week I spoke on that subject. And I believe that the Holy Spirit warns us to come to a place of maturing in Him, maturing in Jesus. And so I really believe as a church that God is wanting us to move forward in our faith. He wants us to move forward in our faith and trust in Him in the coming season. So God also wants us to mobilize and activate our faith. We all have faith, don't we? We do. But God wants us to mobilize it and activate it. We talk a lot about faith, but if there is no activation of that faith, it remains useless. It helps no one. And that's why James chapter 2 and verse 26 tells us this. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. A really interesting concept there, isn't it? James says, for as the body without the spirit, when a man dies, his spirit is no more in him. That's why the body is dead. He says, he compares that and he says, so faith without works is as good as a dead body going nowhere and doing nothing. Think about that. And as a church, I believe that we are in a season of change. And I believe that God is yet again stirring up this gift of faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. For him that cometh to God must believe that he is God. Without faith, you cannot please God. Faith is the catalyst that activates the supernatural. Faith is the catalyst that activates the supernatural. It's not anything else. It's not our other giftings. It's not doing even miracles. None of that does it. It's the faith that activates the supernatural. And I think we have been blessed to be in a church that preaches faith, that practices faith. And now I believe it's time for us as a church, who are the gathered ones, the ecclesia, the gathered ones, to start activating our faith. Why do we have to activate our faith? One of the things that we have on the card is we want to see miracles. And miracles comes out of an activation of our faith. That's how God does it. It's an activation of our faith. And so often when we talk about change, it's a difficult thing. But we know that change, when we activate our faith to see, to break forth, and we see a breakout of miracles, that edifies us, that strengthens us, that causes us to even go further in our faith in God. Am I right? How many know that when you see God at work, when you know that you've experienced God's power in your life, that motivates you to move forward. It motivates you to get on a bit further in God, because we all need to see the miraculous power of Jesus. And often a change of atmosphere, a change of place, a change of location, getting out of the familiar moves us to a place of trying new things. We got to get out of the familiar in order to try the unfamiliar. And as long as we remain in the familiar, we will never experience the unfamiliar. And that's why God is moving us into a place where we can experience more of Him. But that comes with something new, with some change that happens in our lives. Sometimes we got to get rid of the usual to believe the unusual and to receive the unusual. We got to put our trust in God in that place of vulnerability. When there is safety, you won't need God. And someone, a preacher actually said this. He said in the Asian countries, people, you don't have to convince people that there is a God. They know it. They know it. In the Western world, we are still trying to convince people that God is God. Because there are those who do not believe in God, and there are those who do not believe even in the existence of God. Church, it is time for us to get out of the boat and to step on that water with our faith. And I really believe God's bringing us to that place. And it's going to happen now. Amen. I believe that it's going to happen now. Last week, we touched on the importance of growing in faith and not just staying at the place of accepting Jesus, because there is a journey that we all take in Jesus, and there is more to experience in Jesus. And I covered 5 points. And in a nutshell, what I was talking about was that we have to grow and be mature in the things of the Spirit, so that when our faith is tested, we will continue to stand. And believe you me, our faith is going to be tested, because the times are such that even today, bearing the name Christian is sometimes a shameful thing, because people look at even Christians today in a Christian country, they look at Christians and they try and ridicule them, and they try and put them in a place where people feel that they can't speak up anymore. Such is the times that we are living in. And so we need faith in our lives to be able to stand the test of time. And if you want to check those notes out, it's on our website. All my messages are on our website. If you go to lighthouse-church.org.uk, or if you Google Lighthouse Church New Malden, you'll get our website. And if you go into sermons there and media, resources, under the resources tab, you will see all the messages that I've spoken. All our messages on a Sunday is up there. So you can always read it up for yourself. So the first thing that I really want to talk about today is this. Here are a few things that we need to know. The first thing is this: every believer has been given a measure of faith. Every believer has been given a measure of faith. This is the God kind of faith. And this is what God, what Paul talks about in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. And it says this, Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. For it is by God's grace, say God's grace, that you have been saved through faith. Say through faith. It is not the result of your own efforts, but God's gift. Say God's gift. So God's grace has saved you through faith, not as a result of your own works or efforts, but it has been a gift that God has given each and every one of us. Faith is the gift given by God. That's why it says, you and I, we all have a measure of faith. There's no one on this earth who is not without faith. Everyone has a measure of faith. And it's that faith that causes us, when we hear the message of the gospel of Jesus, it's the faith that God has given us that enables us to explore a little more about who this Jesus is. And it brings us to a place of God's grace and mercy that when we call upon the name of Jesus, God's mercy, through God's mercy and His grace, He begins to change our lives. And that's what we call salvation, where our lives are changed from darkness, we're brought into the light of God. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, and because of God's gracious gift to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you should. In other words, don't get swollen-headed. Instead, be modest in your thinking and judge yourself according to the amount of faith that God has given you. Judge yourself according to what? The amount of faith. Has God given us a measure of faith? Yes, He has. That God has given you. And the New King James Version puts it like this. As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. As God has dealt. Now, how many know that when you play cards, and I don't encourage playing cards, neither do I play cards as well myself, neither do I gamble. But when they deal a deck of, when they deal cards, they give you a set of cards. They say, I have dealt you a set of cards. Correct? Yeah. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So, there's a measure of faith for you. There's a measure of faith for you. There's a measure of faith for you. And there's a measure of faith for you. And so God begins to deal a measure of faith to each and every one of us. God has dealt a measure of faith. It doesn't say how much or how little. But we all have a measure of faith. Some of you will have 3 cards, 4 cards, 5 cards. Some of you will have even more. Some will have a whole lot of cards. But does that mean that the person who has more cards has more faith than the other person? It doesn't. Because God has given us a measure of faith that we need to believe. And so we don't go on somebody else's faith, but we go on the faith that God has given you. So you never can try to piggyback on somebody else's faith because God has given you the faith you need to trust Him. And God has given the other person the faith that person needs to trust God. Can you see that? So every one of us, we don't have to be competitive about it or covet somebody else's faith or envy somebody else who has faith because God has given you a measure of faith. Can you see that? So you can see that faith comes from God and faith has been given to every believer. This measure of faith has been given. It's not something God is going to do, but He's already done it. You and I, we already have it. Tell your neighbor, you have a measure of faith. We don't have to pray for it. Neither can we ever pay for it. That faith is already there, the faith to believe. So we have established this morning that every person who believes in Jesus has faith. But the question is this: what has become of that faith? What has become of that faith? What has that faith that you have in Jesus, where has that faith you've had in Jesus taken you? Where has it taken you? Has it grown? Or have you buried it like the man who buried his one talent in fear and doubt and unbelief? You read Matthew 25, verse 18, you will see that passage there where the king was going on a long journey and he gave his three servants different talents, different things to do, different amounts. And the first guy who got five, he doubled it. The second guy who got two, doubled it. The guy who got one, buried it. I'll talk about that sometime later on another Sunday. Many times as Christians, we have taken the measure of faith that God has given us and we have boxed it. We have covered it and we have hidden it away and have not used it to birth our miracle. I think that's sad. We have kept it carefully. We have preserved it. There's no rainy day, faith. There's no rainy day. You cannot keep faith for a rainy day because faith is now. Amen? Faith is now, because Hebrews 11, what does it say? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence you haven't seen, but you hope for what you haven't seen, because that is faith that will bring the miraculous to pass. That is faith that brings the conviction to believe that the supernatural is able to touch the natural. Can you see that? And church, we need to know that this God-given faith, it needs to be activated in our lives. We want to see miracles. How many want to see miracles? I want to see miracles. And that comes through an activation of that measure of faith that God has given us. Here's the second thing about this faith. This faith can grow and increase. This measure of faith can increase, but it can only do so when we decide to do something about that measure of faith that God has given us. We are the ones that increase our faith in God, not God. We are the ones who increase our faith, not God, because He's already given it to us. Can you see that? We often say, God, increase my faith. And let me give you a scripture there. In Luke 17, 5 to 6, when the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. You know what Jesus said? Very interesting scripture. I never saw it before. When I noticed, I said, wow. She said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. When they said, Lord, increase our faith, what did you say? If you have a faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain. So it's not about quantity. It's about quality. It's about utilizing the faith that God has given you. You don't need tons of faith to shift something. You need your measure of faith, but tons of belief. Can you see the difference? Tons of belief. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for. The hope for, the evidence you haven't seen. And that's what we need tons of. But God can use the measure of faith that you have. So don't be disappointed this morning that when you see people, you know, doing, working in signs and wonders and miracles and great things happening, don't say, oh, look, oh, he's an anointed man of God. Or she's an anointed woman of God. Oh, you know, I don't have the faith that they have. God has dealt to you a measure of faith. Don't put yourself down there somewhere saying, they can do it, I can't. Because you can. By the word of God, you can. Because God has dealt you a measure of faith. Can you see that? I hope you're getting excited this morning. You know, because this is the time for us to activate our faith and come to a place of saying, God, I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm not going to, you know, believe anything else other than believe that you are able to use me to bring about a miracle in the lives of people in this house, not only in this house, but also in my neighborhood, in my place of work, wherever I am. You, oh God, are able to bring that miracle about because the measure of faith has been given and dealt, and it is in you. Hallelujah. So how do we grow in faith? We have to feed our lives on the Word of God. We have to read the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. That's how it comes. It doesn't come through any other means. It doesn't come through television or reading novels or other fantastic books. It comes through reading and reading the Word of God. If you were here on Wednesday last week, you would have heard Pastor Robert Morris talk about the importance of reading the Word. Just reading the Word. Just reading the Word of God. Because there's power, there's life. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. This book is not just printed on paper and bound together for nothing. It has a price. It's a priceless book. It's been there for generations and generations, for centuries. And today it is even the most widely published and widely read book in the world. Why? Because it is the inspired word of God. It's not a dead book. It's not some letters on a page. It's our lives. It's our livelihood. It's something that we eat, have to eat every day as much as we feed our bodies. Because if we don't feed our bodies, what will happen? We will grow weak. And if we don't feed our spirit man with the Word of God, we will grow weak spiritually. And so many times when you try to do things in the spirit, but we haven't focused or put our attention on the Word of God, we feel weak. We feel tired, we feel worn out. It's because we haven't spent time in God's Word. We have done everything else under the sun, everything else that needs to be done. Got ourselves busy, you know, running around, doing all sorts of things. But we haven't spent time feeding ourselves in the Word and on the Word of God. And if we did that in the natural, imagine that. If you just ran around every day and never ate, you didn't eat or drink, what will happen? You're running around, you'll soon go. And that's what happens in the spirit. But we don't connect the two. We feed our bodies well. But what about feeding our spirit man? And church, it's time for us to feed our spirit man like never before. Because the days are such. I'm not trying to just frighten you or, you know, bring condemnation or, you know, say that and everything's going bad. No, I'm just trying to say, let's be a church that we are ready. A church that is fully functional. A church that activates its faith. And that we are not dependent on somebody else's faith, but we have our own measure of faith that we can use in a time of need, wherever we are, to bring about the results that God wants to see happen. Because God works through you and me. Imperfect as we are, God does that. He uses us. You cannot sustain yourself in faith and grow if you are feeding only once a week, only on a Sunday in church, or just when you feel like it. You can't go to the Word of God and do this. I'm going to read. Oh, that doesn't happen. You got to read the Word of God. Take a book of the one of the books of the Bible, the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs, or one of the Gospels, and read. Or you can follow a Bible reading. There are so many Bible reading programs today. You can read the Bible. But we need to read the Word of God. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said this, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What bread or food is to the body? The Word of God is to the spirit. We feed our spirit man by the Word of God that proceeds out of his mouth, the inspired, holy Word of God. If we just keep feeding on the Word of God and not exercising our faith, we become flabby. If we just keep feeding on the Word of God, it's like eating. If you just keep eating every day, loads of food, and we don't exercise, what happens? We just start. As I say in Sri Lanka, you look nice and fat. That's what they say there. They don't mean anything bad by it. I mean, here you can't say things like that. They think, oh, that's a bit odd, you know. But there, you know, the chubbier you are, the better you are. Am I right or wrong? You know. So, anyway, that's there. We feed our spirit man by the Word of God. Feeding and exercising are the keys to growth and development. We got to feed on the Word of God and exercise the Word of God, or activate the Word of God. That will cause growth in our lives. You see, sometimes we get stagnated in one place. You know why? It's because we haven't taken the Word of God and applied it practically in our own lives, for a start, or in somebody else's life. And God gives us so many opportunities every day to use God's word and to bring something that will bless somebody in some way. It could be through a word of encouragement. It could be through laying on of hands. It could be through just serving somebody, giving to somebody, loving somebody. All those acts of kindness are ways in which we can activate the gift that God has put in us and use our measure of faith. Romans 10 and verse 8 tells us this. What it says is this: God's message is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the message of faith that we preach. Hallelujah. That is the message of faith that we preach. It's where? On your lips and in your heart. Hallelujah. We have established today that the measure of faith we have received can be increased by feeding on God's word. It's God's word that brings that stability and that belief and that understanding and that knowing, so that we can put our faith to practice. Feed and activate. Feed on God's word and activate God's word. Here's a third one. Your faith increases when your expectations exceed your limitations. Your faith increases when your expectations exceed your limitations. It is up to us what we do with our measure of faith. We could bury it, or we could use it to fight the Goliaths in our lives. If you look at David in 1 Samuel 17, and verse 40, David was a shepherd boy. And when he faced Goliath, he had a few small stones, the Bible tells us. I think someone said 5 smooth stones. And with one smooth stone, he had the faith to believe that Goliath's head will be in his hand. But what did he use? A small, smooth stone to bring down a mighty giant. What do we need? Faith as small as a mustard seed to bring down everything the enemy has put up against us. All we need is not humongous faith, but a small, tiny mustard seed faith. All we need to do is use that measure of faith in us. Can you see that? I hope that's getting you today. David used one small stone, broke down a big giant. And how did that happen? God did it. God did it. When you use your measure of faith, God will bring it to pass. He will. But he's waiting for us to use it. Nothing would have, that Goliath wouldn't have come down if David didn't do anything about it. Small boy, 14 years of age, took down this mighty giant. He didn't wear armor. He just took a stone. He used a sling because that's what he was used to. When we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we can fight against the powers of the enemy, against his tactics, and we can overcome our infirmities and struggles by activating that God-given faith that has been given to us. And as we keep reading and studying and activating and speaking God's word, we will see things come to pass in our own lives. Now is the time to believe. Now is the time to activate our faith. Now is the time to see the supernatural touch the natural. You will only know the effect of your faith when you have activated it. Till you activate your faith, you will not know that you even have faith. The measure of faith is given, but you will only know it when you activate it and do something with it. And how can we do that? We can do it like this, in this way. Let me give you some practical examples. You can give your testimony. You can share the good news of the gospel of Jesus and see people come to know Jesus. They will never know Jesus until you tell them about Jesus. That's an activation of the faith, or the measure of faith that you've given. Why? Because through grace you have been saved by faith. Here's another thing that you can do. You can pray for the sick and you can see God heal them. You can pray for someone's need and see God meet that particular need. By praying for deliverance from occult practices, you can see people being delivered from and set free from those occult practices. By praying for miracles, you can see those miracles come to pass. By giving to God in faith, you can see God's blessings overtake you. Giving to God as well is by faith. And you can see God bless you. You can see the blessings overtake you. Now is your time. Now is our time to step out of the boat. Now is the time to walk on that water. Now is the time to activate our faith. Let's be daring. Let's be bold. Let's embrace change. And let's move forward. Are you ready to do it? I said, are you ready to do it? We can, because God is with us and He's given you and me a measure of faith. Imagine yourself using this measure of faith, being a dynamite, a powerhouse, not being afraid to demonstrate God's power. It's not about the results. It's about using God's gift of faith that is given you. God can do the rest. And don't get disappointed that when you pray for somebody, nothing happens immediately. Don't get disappointed, because you have activated your faith. And that's all God tells us to do. I want to see your faith, because then I can move the mountains in people's lives. This morning we're going to do a bit of that. How about that? Who's ready for some activation of faith? Hallelujah. Jesus loves you. He loves us so much. You know, He's given us all these gifts. Amazing God. What an amazing God that we have. He has a great plan for our lives. Don't settle with, you know, somebody saying, oh, you don't amount to much. In Jesus' eyes, you amount to a lot. He values you. Only Jesus can go into those dark places and turn those dark places around. He can lighten up the load. He can take your past and He can give you a future that's in Him. Only Jesus can save you from sin. And He can surround you with His love. He can surround you with His power. He died for you. He rose again for you. Hallelujah. And He's alive in you. We sang that song today. By your Spirit, I come alive because I have the resurrection power of Jesus. Don't go by your feelings this morning. Don't go because by the way you feel tired or the world has dealt some blows in your life, or you've been dealt with a blow of whatever financial sickness, whatever else that has come upon your life. Don't go with that. Just tell yourself, I have the resurrection power of Jesus. By your Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Let's all stand this morning and let's sing that song together. From the ashes. From the ashes.
Your name is victory. He's risen.